Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you.
Canadian households are besotted with pets. In a recent study done by the group Statista, there were 28 million pets in Canada. By 2025, the number could be as high as 28.5 million. 23% of Canadian households have a cat, while 20% have a dog. That's a lot of love. Sometimes animals need to be surrendered to shelters. This year, BC is seeing excessive numbers of surrenders and rescues, and unfortunately, there aren't enough animal shelters in BC to handle the load. In June 2023, the Canadian Press circulated the headline, BC shells out $12 million for four new animal shelters as demand rises. In the article, Premier David Eby was announcing the province's willingness to build SPCA facilities in Vancouver, Duncan, Prince George, and Fort St. John. Animal shelters across the province are at capacity. Our local organization, the Northwest Animal Shelter, has four separate buildings where they offer temporary space to cats and dogs, but it still isn't enough. They have to turn animals away. In February, the Northwest Animal Shelter and Total Pet Smithers teamed up for just one of the many successful ideas they've had for getting more of these animals adopted. Catter Day occurred on February 17th, while the adorable Dog Adoption Day followed on the 18th. I'm going to insert a few clips from the dog event so you can enjoy both the human and the canine enthusiasm. I recently met with Sarah Tomlinson, president of the Northwest Animal Shelter, and Nicole Murray, the shelter's adoptions coordinator. Because of Nicole's tight schedule, we agreed to meet at the shelter in one of the very active cat rooms. Lucas, one of the many animals available for adoption at the moment, happened to be enjoying some free time from his kennel. He decided to become a big feature in the sound clips. Lucas has been described as a cat who wants to be involved in absolutely everything going on around him. While we talked, Lucas came for scratches, used the litter box, climbed on top of cages to the dismay of the cats inside them, circled back to rub against our legs, explored inside cupboards and under kennels. As I turned off the microphone, my eye was caught by a movement above us. Lucas was attempting to take down a loose panel in the ceiling so he could climb into the rafters. I fell a little in love with this adventurous goofball, and Lucas, a neutered dilute brown tabby, could become your companion. Nicole and Sarah, I want to begin by getting some numbers on how many animals you have surrendered to the shelter in the past year. Do you keep track of that sort of thing?
I would say we normally calculate our numbers around our AGM for the presentation. I would give you a four-year average.
Okay.
If that works.
Sure.
And it can really fluctuate depending on what we're getting. We get lots of litters of kittens. Our numbers go way up. So it depends on a lot of factors. It depends on how many sick animals we get in because they tend to stay here longer and we can't bring new animals in then. So what happens, I would say on average, we usually have more than 200 cats a year. And for dogs, I would say 60. There's always more cats than dogs.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. We have the ability to house 5 dogs at a time where we can house up to 60 cats at a time.
Okay. And how many animals have you had to turn away in the last little while? It feels to me like it's been a lot more than usual.
Huge, lots.
Yeah, we don't, it's a number we don't track. We try to help people in other ways, depending how they're reaching out. We'll suggest contacting other rescues. Sometimes we'll help maybe with food if we can or other things. We don't track the actual number. We do have a waiting list that we keep, you know. But the sad thing is we have to prioritize the the number. So if a cat or dog is in a home safe and they just don't want the dog, it's going to take longer than, say, a dog who's sick or needs, has been injured and has more immediate needs. We prioritize those. And I'll be honest, it is one of the hardest things we deal with, is having to turn animals away. It's, I think that's the major contributor to volunteer burnout, is that we can't save them all. And that's the hardest thing to deal with. I don't know if Nicole would agree with that.
You've said it all. No, I agree completely. Especially, it seems, for me in the past year, it's been harder and harder. It seems like we're getting asked daily to take something in. And it's not like our adoption numbers are low, but we're not a shelter that's going to euthanize animals to make room for the next. So oftentimes we do have to say, we just don't have space right now. Mm-hmm. And then we never really know what happens to the animal after that. And that's really hard. It's just knowing that it might have been a pretty bad outcome just because we didn't have room.
What are some of the reasons that you are hearing for a surrender?
There's so many. Housing is a huge one for people, especially with cats, it seems. We get a lot of people that have moved into rentals that are just not pet friendly and the landlords aren't willing to budge. Recently, we've had a few cats just like found in the ditch, which is probably people trying to dispose of animals that they can't take care of anymore. A huge need for things like puppies and kittens. We get asked, not so much in the past couple of months, but last fall especially, tons of breeders asking us to take litters of puppies that they just couldn't sell.
Yeah, I think that's been a big thing. We always hear about the pandemic pets. And I think what might have happened during that time, people thought, well, I can sell puppies.
Right.
And what happens is the demand's not there anymore. We have, as Nicole said, a big housing shortage, especially pet-friendly housing. We're contacted a lot, as she says, from people who have moved here or come here with a pet and they cannot find a place to live. And then it comes down to, what are we going to do? Are we going to be homeless or surrender a pet? And that's the difficult choice. We also get contacted a lot from people who talk about affordability of pets. I get that a lot. I can't afford to feed them. And I can't afford veterinary care. And that's been a big issue, I find, lately. And we try to help out if we can't. But, you know, we can only do so much as well. Right. We also get situations where people are dealing with serious illness and they have no family members to be able to help. And, you know, that would probably be an animal we would prioritize. We've had situations where a woman has been dealing with cancer and she cannot look after her pets anymore. And we have seniors who need to move into care. Things like that also influence how we're contacted about bringing pets in. So there's a lot of reasons. And we get out stray pets too. Somebody's had a cat show up at their house and they've already got five cats and can't look after it. So they contact us. There's so many reasons.
We also have a contract with the town of Smithers to house any pound dogs that are picked up. So any impounded dogs that are not claimed by their owners would be the top of our priority list to bring in if we have room, simply because of the contract we have with them.
Mm-hmm. We do get animals in that way. And another big issue that we get is situations that get out of control because of people not spaying and neutering the pets. We'll be contacted. I know there's been houses where we've taken more than 20 cats out of a house.
Yeah, and it started a year and a half before with one female.
Yes. You can imagine if we didn't take them in a few months, what the 20 would be. It would be 30, 40, and then 50, and going on and on.
Well, I think I saw a statistic today that within 4 years it could be thousands.
Yes. Yeah. Very easy.
So it's complicated. Both sides are feeling pinched by the circumstances, but the animals are also experiencing hardship. And while the high cost of living and lack of affordable pet-friendly housing are two big challenges faced by BC pet owners, animal shelters see another more concerning problem. As we just said, many of the province's animals are not spayed or neutered, which means an alarming increase in the animal population every couple of months. Let's consider a single, unaltered female cat. Over the course of 1 year, how many kittens could that cat have?
It can vary. You know, there's so many circumstances. But on average, a cat could have 3 to 5 litters a year. So let's say 4, and on average, 4 to 6 kittens in a litter. And that's not to say we've had several this year where we've had 8 kittens in a litter.
Yeah.
So that adds up pretty quickly. I did not do the math per se, but then you figure in 5 months, the kittens can start reproducing. And just what happens. That's why we get these situations where there's 20 cats in a house. And that number, if we can't help, it gets out of control fast. And what can happen then is the cats, they're either given away or they're tossed outside. Because you just can't have that many cats in a single residence. It's just not healthy.
Yeah.
And what can happen under those circumstances, too, where you have a large number of cats in a house, they're more prone to disease as well. They can get upper respiratory problems or FIP or...
Coronavirus is a big one that you'll see in large kind of hoarding situations. Coronavirus for cats is not the same for humans. It's basically a digestive bug that causes extreme diarrhea. You can imagine with 20 cats how awful that would be.
Yeah. And this doesn't even address the males, unaltered males, who could impregnate a lot of females in a couple of weeks.
One male cat in the house could easily impregnate 10 females.
Yeah. So. And they will mate with siblings and they will mate with children too. It's just... You know, cats, that's what they do.
Yeah. And there's also the fighting. I mean, there's so many problems with having an unaltered animal in the house.
Spraying. Spraying. You know, that's an issue. And a big one is wandering, too.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a female in heat, any male will wander. That's dog or cat. So if you want to keep your pet home and safe, the best thing to do is get them neutered.
You guys getting a dog?
We want one, but we can't quite yet.
And they just like kind of slept and chill
when they're right here.
Well,
I see the
wiener
dog.
They're both pretty chill. For dog. Yeah, for puppies, they're very calm.
Both tails are pretty...
I've noticed the dogs at the shelter are not being adopted as quickly this year. Dogs used to be snapped up, but now they have to be advertised multiple times before they find a home. So what changed?
I am still trying to wrap my head around that. Right now we have dogs like Roxy and Rose that came to us at a year and a year and a half old. Friendly, energetic, good with other animals, great with people. 2 years ago, those dogs wouldn't have even been advertised because I would have had a wait list. And at this point, they've been with us for 8.5 months. The quality of the animals hasn't changed. I can tell you that. It does seem like there's less people looking for dogs.
I would say part of that could be the same reason for surrender is the high cost of living and the lack of affordable, pet-friendly housing. I think that... That hits us on both sides in more surrenders and fewer adoptions.
Of the animals surrendered in the past year, how many needed to be spayed or neutered before they could be even put up for adoption?
I think honestly a better question is how many haven't. Pretty much everything that we have come through here is not spayed or neutered.
It's very rare that they come in spayed or neutered.
Okay.
Yeah. Boots and Midnight would be the only two. In the past 3 months that are neutered.
It's very rare that they come in. So our costs, you know, for spaying and neutering every animal that virtually comes in, and I would guesstimate 95% may even be conservative, that come in are not spayed and neutered.
So that's a big expense for you.
It's a huge expense. We actually lose money on every single adoption that we do. We adopt... So the cat's out for an adult cat, spayed, neutered, vaccinated for $100. whereas it costs us between $160 and $300 to get the surgery done.
Gee.
But we can't increase the adoption fees to reflect that because, again, we have so many cats coming through that we need to find good homes for them.
Well, and if people are having trouble getting them spayed and neutered themselves, then they're certainly not going to be able to afford to pay for one that's been spayed or neutered if you're charging them the fee.
Exactly.
Wow, it's kind of an endless cycle, isn't it?
It is, yes.
I believe you had several pregnant cats and dogs surrendered this year, or animals with new litters. So instead of having to find one bed for a surrendered animal, that meant you needed how many beds?
Well, in the case of Beth, she's a dog that we were contacted about. Woman had been left with two dogs in her care, plus she already had dogs. We were contacted by the District of Houston, actually, to take them in. And we agreed to take the female so that she didn't get pregnant. We had room for one dog. And she arrived dripping milk so close to birth that she had her babies within a week of arrival. And she had eight. We were lucky that we have one foster home that is willing to take on a mother dog and puppies. And they were currently in the area, so they were able to take her. So the puppies did grow up there. So that does only work out to two kennels when they eventually come back to the shelter because the puppies are small enough to share. But still, it was a huge shock. Like, we were expecting one dog that could be adopted out quickly and instead have had them now for...
Yeah.
Since November.
Yeah. We have to wait until the puppies are weaned and then the mother spayed before she can be adopted out. And the puppies, we adopt them out with a spay-neuter contract where the adopter pays the cost of the spay-neuter. Otherwise, we've learned we're just basically shooting ourselves in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't see that everything that comes out of here is spayed and neutered, we're going to be contacted about puppies and kittens again. And we've seen it. So
we don't even just charge for the spay-neuter. We make sure that the surgery is booked before they leave the building. Just because... even paying for the spay-neuter, our adoption fees are much cheaper than going and buying a puppy. So if we ensure that the surgery is booked, we know they're going to show up.
The other thing I'd like to address is kittens come in here lately, and you talked about the cat coronavirus. They come in sick. So that means a long wait for you.
Yeah.
Because you have to wait for those cats, kittens to grow up and ensure that they're healthy before they can be adopted.
Yeah, we currently have a family group right now that came in. So it's three different litters of kittens, two to one mother, one to the next. They arrived and one of the kittens was sick. We've since lost three. They have feline coronavirus and certain genetic makeups that can mutate into what's called FIP. Typically, FIP will not present itself after the age of about a year and a half to 2 years old. So although at this point we have one that we're treating and the rest seem fairly healthy, we have to hold on to 10 cats until they're at least a year and a half old because we can't adopt out animals that we know could potentially become sick.
Which means more animals could become sick. Right? If you've got other kittens in the house, then you're potentially passing it on.
FIP is not contagious. It's a genetic disease. But the coronavirus could, which is diarrhea. Most cats clears up really quickly, but you never know which ones will have the genetic makeup for it to mutate.
I would just like to note, with the affordability of spaying and neutering and costs, we do operate a low-income spay-neuter program, and it makes the costs much more affordable. And it's a cost sharing between the pet guardian, us, and the vets who have reduced their fees, very generously reduced their fees, actually. If you qualify, and it's income driven, the cost to get a cat spayed and neutered is $80 plus GST. So we pay a portion to the vet, they bill us as well. And again, like I said, they've reduced their fee. So if you have animals, certainly check out our spay-neuter program. And information's on our website, www.nwas.ca, or send an email to info at nwas.ca or reach out to us on Facebook and we'll get you the information. You can also pick up applications at Vet to Pet in Smithers and Bulkley River Vet in Houston.
Holy my goodness.
She can hold them whenever she wants.
Are they up for adoption or?
Yeah.
They're gonna be mints, like honestly, probably about her size.
Okay.
Oh, they're so cute.
He's a bit smaller than this guy, eh?
Yeah. Bob was 8.2 kilos at their last vaccines, and Zeke, the black one, was only 7.4. But Bob and Bosco were the two biggest.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of like Zeke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Zeke too.
Seems pretty in getting the cats.
Yeah, I've noticed when we had all eight of them, Zeke was very independent.
Like, mischievous independent?
No.
No. What are you kind of wanting?
I think a companion.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, I like stuff.
Yeah.
When they're old enough.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure. They do need some more training on the leash.
I do have treats. Just kind
I try taking them for walks, and they know to be really carrying me on the leash.
Okay, that's fair.
So, and then if you do put an application, you come to the shelter, you can take them for a walk. So.
I can do that?
Yeah.
Okay,
really
I've already put it in.
Okay.
Say
hi. Yeah, I know it.
You've been teaming up with Total Pet Smithers almost monthly to host dog and cat adoption events. These have been remarkably successful.
They really have. In the fall, we did our first really ever dog adoption event in the parking lot at Total Pet, and seen three dogs get adopted from that event, which three might not sound like a huge number, but when we have the ability to house about five, it's a pretty big deal for us. Just about a week and a half ago, we had another adoption event at Total Pet. This time we brought down cats and dogs, and I don't have any set numbers on what's been adopted yet because we do trial periods, but it's looking like it'll be two dogs and two cats. Yeah, Kayla at the pet store oftentimes comes up with these ideas herself and will send me a message and say, hey, do you want to bring kittens to do this? I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. So she's a huge supporter of us, which is awesome. If anyone else ever wants to host us and cats or dogs, just send us a message and we'll see if it works.
Most animal rescue organizations are popular, but the Northwest Animal Shelter is particularly loved in the Bulkley Valley and beyond. You've held a few fundraisers this year, and people have been really generous. So I think you've got a couple more coming up, haven't you? At least one that I know about.
We have, we've had quite a few successful. We had the pet photos with Santa,
yes,
at Coast Mountain. In the past, we've also done Stuff the Truck for cat food and dog food at Smithers Feed Store.
That was supposed to be a donation base, but we got $1,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
So just events like that. Coming up in, I believe it's March 9th, you might want to save the date. We're doing a relaunch of Powder Hound, which is a beer brewed by Smithers Brewing Company with support from Babine Animal Hospital, which was a really fun and amazing thing last year, which helped a lot.
Yeah.
And we'll have another event coming out. I don't have the details. It's later in March, and it's going to be a cat cafe.
The neurodiverse community is hosting it.
Yes.
We don't have all the details yet, but there might be a bake sale and cats to cuddle.
Two things I love.
Remember, I told Nikki that we would foster again, but I don't want to foster puppies or dogs that don't like cats.
Look
at it.
You know how much they weigh?
Probably like,
maybe it's at 60
pounds?
This one's
kind of. Yeah, as far as puppies go, they seem really easy.
Good at training dogs to be respectful.
We just need to play with that puppy. We're going to use one. Bob and Zeke, but
you change.
Yeah, they're not stuck on those.
Oh, they're not, okay. That's
sweet. Are you looking for
both
dogs?
No, I just wonder. Are they both male?
Yeah, they are, these two.
Bob and Zeke, okay.
Yeah. Bob is the brown one and Zeke is. Yeah, so she's about the small one, like about the size they're going
to. That's what they'll be, yeah. What is the breed?
We have no idea.
It's a mix.
Yeah,
it's a
and
mix.
Their mom was a husky healer.
A husky, okay.
Or is.
Healer.
But the calmest husky healer I've ever met.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be fine.
Sometimes. Sorry. Shake.
We're not playing with him. Stop yelling at him.
Okay, let's go back to the adoptions for a minute. You have some pretty strict rules on adoptions, and I've discovered that in other provinces, that's not always the case.
Not even other provinces. It's a shelter-by-shelter basis, but we take in these animals at their lowest points, and we promise them that they're not going to get there again. So we do everything in our power to make sure that that will never happen. So we do have an adoption application. And then typically follow-up questions with me. We do home checks and trial periods. And I've had in the past people are offended because they're told the animal's not a good fit for their lifestyle. And as much as I don't want to offend people and I want animals to get homes, the lifestyle match is the most important part of the adoption process. Like, if your goal is for a lifetime family member, they have to fit with your lifestyle. So, I guess my point is, sometimes we do have to offend people in the best interest of the animals, but at the end of the day, our goal is to help both the people and the animals find their very best match.
I've noticed twice in the past week that I've had to have the conversation with people, one of them being a family member, that it's not a good idea to look to adopt an animal based on its markings.
That's true. And we'll actually often post that when we advertise kittens, that adoptions are based on personality, not looks. And I mean, let's admit it, every puppy and kitten is adorable. So,
yeah. One final question. There are a lot of reasons why animals are surrendered, and there will probably always be a need and a benefit to every community to have a place like the Northwest Animal Shelter. But if cats and dogs were being spayed and neutered before they could have litters, would that reduce the epidemic in any significant way?
Huge, yes. Huge, yes. There will always be surrenders, as we've discussed, people who are ill, people going into care, people who can't afford. But spay and neuter would make a big difference. We wouldn't be getting these situations where we're taking more than 20 animals out of a house, which would be great.
Like right now, there are more animals born every year than there are good homes looking for animals. Whereas if the amount of animals born was reduced, then there would be a good home for every animal.
You wouldn't be doing all these awful surrenders and finding traumatized animals in the corners either, would you?
Probably not.
It would be reduced anyway.
Yeah.
Put it that way. If we didn't have these situations that are just overwhelming.
Thank you for everything that you do. I appreciate it. And thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Christine. You're welcome.
No, I'm just looking. That's a quite the mix.
Yeah. Your mom is actually really calm.
Getting your puppy fill in?
No, I'm not picking up again.
Oh, here you go.
I'm so happy when you're picking up.
Roxy. Oh, yeah. Liquor face. Do that.
All good.
Hello. Hello. Bob and Zeke.
Oh,
I know. That makes you want to adopt them right there.
It really does.
Bob and Zeke.
Because
I'd love to have a friend.
Anybody want to hold the puppy so you have a picture?
Sure. Which one? Come here.
Here.
If you enjoyed hearing how the dog and puppy event went a couple of weeks ago, you'll love part two of the Powder Hound Hootenanny being held at the Smithers Brewing Company this Saturday, March 9th. Lucas, Bob, and Zeke, and all the other adoptable dogs and cats at the shelter tell me it's gonna be a hoot. Come and learn more about the shelter, the animals in its care, and how you too can get involved with the Northwest Animal Shelter. Not able to volunteer time and money right now? Well, that's okay. Because the best way you can support the shelter anytime is to ensure that all your dogs and cats are spayed and neutered.
We do operate a low-income spay-neuter program, and it makes the costs much more affordable. If you qualify, and it's income-driven, the cost to get a cat spayed and neutered is $80, plus GST. So we pay a portion to the vet. They bill us as well. And again, like I said, they've reduced their fee. So if you have animals, certainly check out our spay-neuter program. And information's on our website, www.nwas.ca, or send an email to info@nwas.ca, or reach out to us on Facebook, and we'll get you the information. You can also pick up applications at Vet to Pet in Smithers and Bulkley River Vet in Houston.
Oh, my.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.